Grace, peace, and mercy be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ on this Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, enter in. Well, we've already asked you that, Lord, in our opening hymn, but we ask for extra measures of it because we need it, Lord. We need you. We need your Spirit. We need strength, encouragement. So be with us today and open our ears and our minds and our hearts to receive your word. In your name we pray. Amen. How many meat eaters are out there? Yeah? Okay. So we've got some meat lovers among us. When I order a pizza from anywhere, it's got to be the meat lover's pizza, right? I got to have all the meat, everything they offer, the pepperoni, the Italian sausage, the Canadian bacon, the hamburger, whatever meat they put on it, that's what I want. Oh, and anchovies count as meat too, you know, but not all pizza places have them anymore. Well, what is it with these Israelites then? They seem carnivorous in this reading from Numbers. If the lack of meat or just the lack of variety of food was the issue, this scene would be humorous, but it's dead serious. In fact, as you heard, people die in this account from Numbers 11. God takes their life, and that's pretty serious, don't you think? Now, I chose to expand this reading from Numbers to the entire 11th chapter because there's some interesting things going on that we don't often hear or deal with. And one of them is glaringly apparent, God's anger and his wrath. He gets very angry with his people here. He gets angrier and angrier to the point where he kills some of them. God is a killer. He's not a murderer, but he does kill. He creates, he kills. He's in charge. He's got a plan for his people and the whole world. And if you don't want to listen to him or do what he says and be part of his plan, you better get out of the way. But there's something else that happens here, which has everything to do with today, Pentecost. Did you catch it when I read it earlier? Something about the Spirit? In the midst of all the anger on both sides, on God's side and the Israelites' side, in the midst of all this complaining and arguing and wrath and death, the Holy Spirit is given to people. Compassion and mercy and a foreshadowing of today happens in this train wreck we know as the wandering of Israel in the wilderness. For us Christians, we're familiar with celebrating the arrival of the Holy Spirit as Luke records in his second book, The Acts of the Holy Spirit and the Apostles. The red pyramids in the church brings to mind the flames over the apostles' heads and the speaking of the gospel in different languages so that people across the world will be able to receive the good news of Jesus and be saved. Like every story in the Bible, however, there's a backstory. And today, with this reading from Numbers 11, we're going way back to a moment that foreshadows the day of Pentecost in Acts. So after having been brought out of Egypt through the Red Sea and having spent some time on Mount Sinai in the desert, God appears to the Israelites in the cloud, and they pack everything up, and they get on foot again and start walking towards the Promised Land. And no sooner they're on their feet, they start complaining. Manna is a boring food. Where's the tasty fish we used to eat in Egypt? The onions and the garlic. It's making me hungry already. Well, this causes Moses and God to start arguing with each other. I mean, what a dysfunctional family of 600,000 people this is. But it's probably familiar to most of us, right? You know, when you were a kid or whatever, your kids, you know, what? Mashed potatoes again? Then mom and dad start getting into each other's face because the kids are complaining, the tension in the house rises, You know, we can see how this unfolds here. It is somewhat darkly humorous the way God responds to the meat complaint. He's like, "Oh, y'all like to eat meat, huh? Well, I'll give you meat. You'll be eating so much meat, it'll come out of your noses." Yeah, kind of funny, but it's a overpouring of wrath, right? But this is a recurring theme for us Christians. We believe in and follow a God who formed this family, Israel, to be a light to the whole world. The incarnate Son of God comes from the lineage of this strange family. Yet these people are rarely, if ever, willing to be able to suffer hardship for the state of for the sake of freedom. From the very beginning, from the days of Abraham to the days of the prophets, they will complain and argue and turn their heads away from God. He responds. They punch him in the nose. He punches back. Except when he punches back, he punches a little harder. So it is with us. Sometimes following Jesus on his mission to seek and save the lost, and being obedient at least as much as we can be, it can cause pain and suffering. And we grumble and complain and argue with God, or are tempted to give him up and give up his church altogether. Does he punch back? Does he kill? He can. He has. He did at Kibroth Hattaavah. He struck down the people who had the craving for their inner desires. The meat they loved so much back in Egypt was their God. But he also poured out his spirit on Moses and transferred some of it from Moses to the other leaders. Look, Israel was all God had to perform his great commission. Now, I know the great commission means what we know from the Gospels, right? Jesus commands us to go out into the world and preach the good news and baptize. But Israel was God's first great commission. And it was all God had. He didn't have a backup plan, at least from what we can gather from Scripture. He didn't say to Israel, "Oh, well, you know, you all failed, so now I'm going to go find another multitude from somewhere, Africa or Asia or Europe, and I'll make them my people, and they'll be a light to the world." He didn't do that. He sticks with Israel through their sin, and he sticks with us. He stays with them. He stays with us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The wrath of God in Numbers chapter 11 is shocking and awesome. Shock and awe, right? You know, imagine if you had been there. Now, hopefully you wouldn't be one of the ones having the craving, though. But if you'd survived that time of discipline and attitude adjustment from God, you'd have continued with God to the promised land and witnessed more of his mighty wonders and works, and his steadfast love and mercy. Something we can take away from Numbers 11 is the assurance that God knows how to bring his plan to save the world to completion. It's already guaranteed with the death, resurrection, ascension, and impending return of Jesus Christ. But I know it seems more and more these days like Christianity and the church is weaker and weaker against the powers of darkness against it. Kicking the God of the Bible out of public schools while allowing other belief systems to flourish and indoctrinate our future generations is a prime example of Christendom's weakness in society. Ways of living together and just ways of being human and ways of thinking which are outside of God's desire for us have the upper hand now. The unfaithful portion of society used to think of us Christians as goody two-shoes because we were friendly and did good works for people. Then we were weirdos because we got lumped in with the hippie movement. Oh, don't we wish we could go back to being goody-two-shoes and weirdos? Because now we're oppressors and hateful people. Who knows what we will be labeled next? But Jesus told his followers that people would hate them because they hate him. Nothing's changed about that in 2,000 years. And nothing's changed when it comes to the steadfast love of God, which never ceases. God poured out his Spirit on Moses, and it overflowed onto the elders of Israel, and he stayed with them while his plan to save the world continues. Those who got in his way got their due reward, and the same goes for today, though it seems we are sheep being led into the slaughterhouse. We are being led to the last day in victory. Victory over darkness and sin and every evil, because Jesus won the victory by dying and rising to life, paying the price for our sin and defeating the devil. The Holy Spirit, which was given to Moses in the desert and the apostles in Jerusalem, has been given to you so that you will believe in Jesus, believe in the forgiveness of your sin, that he bought for you with his blood, and that you would have life and have it abundantly, forever. The Spirit does other things, such as help you with your cravings, that they won't become your God. The Spirit will help you see beyond yourself to the needs of the whole body of Christ. So in that way, you will help others who can benefit from the gifts and talents that God has given you in whatever the Spirit will have you work for him. He'll stick with you. He lives in you. So let us pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son to save us from death, and for the Holy Spirit who creates faith in our hearts and helps us remain faithful to you. For we know your love for us never ceases. Fill us with your Spirit and fill us with our daily bread. For you truly bless us and provide for all our needs. For this we thank you. Amen.